Years back, Carroty Wood. If you go down to the woods today, you're in for a big surprise.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a few surprises over the last couple of days, and we've really enjoyed just leaning into the heart of the Lord and releasing that over you. We've changed tack slightly this morning. With the message, I think ever since we got saved, we both saved as teenagers, and into a charismatic expression of church, non-denominational, and so the focus was always very much on the kingdom. The more I studied the Gospels and Jesus, and what Jesus spoke about, you know, John the Baptist came and said, "Repent, because the kingdom of God is drawing near, is at hand." And Jesus came after John and said exactly the same thing. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And he spoke about the kingdom. The kingdom is like this. The kingdom is like a pearl of great price. The kingdom is this. And then after he was crucified, was put in the tomb, then rose again on the third day. He then visited those in the upper room. They were a bit surprised. And so he told them to be... Do not fear, and peace I give you. My peace I live with you. I do not give you as the world gives you. This is something we need to hear in these days.
Yes.
Jesus does not give to us as the world gives to us. Because if you listen to the BBC, you'll be hearing a lot of lies, or skewed, or a perspective that isn't necessarily wholesome. Oh, not just the BBC, you know, most news outlets have got an agenda, I'm afraid, these days, and it's very hard to trust our sources, isn't it? So, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is rich in the kingdom, think on these things, and that should be our correction. And when we come into the presence of God like we have this morning, we get a recalibration. I just think of an old radio or something, you know, the good old days before digital radio. We had to go. One of my most hated things was driving a car listening to AM, and it would be fine, and then it would suddenly go off. And these days, you can just pick a channel and it's digital and it's clean. And it, well, digital is either on or off, isn't it? So when it's working, it's brilliant. When it's not working, nothing. There's a recalibration that happens in our hearts, in our minds, in our understanding, in the presence of God, that brings us back to the way we've been created, what we've been created for, and who we are, and why we're here. And so that's why I love the presence so much, because there's an opportunity in every time of corporate worship, every time of our quiet times, our times reading the Bible, our times just waiting and listening to God, to have an encounter with Him that transforms us from one degree of glory to another. And so when Jesus came to the disciples and He said, "My peace I give with you," He blew on them and released something. That breath, the same breath that breathed into Adam was breathed on those disciples. And His breath brings life. And then He spent, there's one scripture written, this isn't my message today, by the way, I just got saw the word kingdom and I'm off. There's one verse that says, and He spoke to them about His most important message, the kingdom of heaven.
Yep.
I want the manual, I want the recordings, I want to go and watch the videos of what He was talking about. And the only way we find out what He was talking about is to examine and study the lives of those who were in the room. And what followed. And that's a whole other message. But it's all about the kingdom, and it's evangelism, and it's growth, and it's multiplication, and it's life, and it's having all things in common. As I mentioned this morning, the scripture verse, which was our kind of foundation as Bridge Christian Fellowship for 20 years, was Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread, to prayer, and to fellowship. It's basically a table. Come and sit at the table. Share your stories, share our understanding, share the teachings that we've learned, eat together, break bread together, fellowship together, do life together, do it really well, pray, worship, and then grow the table. It's, in my humble opinion, it's real simple. However, for hundreds of years, churchianity has gone a long way from what Jesus instructed us to do. Free we've received, free give away. And so sitting, coming and sitting and standing and being part of a small group of beautiful, passionate, prophetic people that gives us life. Thank you so much for your welcome and your friendship. We really appreciate it. And it's not how can we strengthen you, it's how can you strengthen us? How can we add value to each other? How can we bless one another? As we bless one another. This is not a one-way street. And the kingdom of heaven is bringing life, hope, joy, friendship, encouragement, standing with people when they're going through the dark night of their soul, and being with them when they come out the other side, and knowing. You know, it's the people that visited when you need them the most and the ones you really know are your friends. You know, there's something about being right there. And these days, you can talk to someone from around the other side of the world using one of these devices, which is wonderful. Yeah. However, the physicality of being in the same room with each other, sitting around the same table, sharing a meal, is still, I think, the design for the transformation of the world, in my humble opinion, as I'll say. So this is a message that I've kicked around over the years. I brought it out again earlier in the year, just, and it coincided when I spoke at our local church in Gosport with London Fashion Week. So I was intrigued to see what was the things that these incredible designers of clothing were offering to the world to say, you need to be wearing this. And I've got a few examples. Let's start with that.
Star Trek.
This is the poster for London Fashion Week, would you believe? It's get your clothes, get a pair of scissors, shred everything, sort of tie it back together again, and ta-da! And then, as we know on Fashion Week, can you all see that okay if I'm in the way? There's also some very unusual dress designs, aren't there, in Fashion Week. Anyone fancy wandering down Tonbridge High Street with that on? No? I believe I can fly. And there's more. Just a little subtle something for, you know, to go to the park and play with the grandkids. I can see that. Everyone would choke, wouldn't they, if they're in this. Like, don't breathe in when you're wearing that. Anyway, just so the guys don't miss out, there you go. There's a bit of... Yeah, that's almost normal, isn't it? Almost. But then there's this. No shirts required, just big bow ties, everybody. That's what we need these days. That guy's looking like he's got a moustache. So anyway, so kingdom fashion, or what I'd like to say is, you know, what does the Bible say about what we should wear and also what we shouldn't wear? What are we carrying? What is on our shoulders? What have we got very comfortable with? And, you know, there are lots of TV shows that, what not to wear? You know, a lot of fashion shows. I've worked in TV all my life, and I have worked on some fashion shows where they always show you, you know, the clothes show, I think I worked on that for a little bit. And these are all the latest things, and then they look at you and they go, oh, that's terrible, let's take that off and let's put this on, and ta-da, and now you look amazing. And it's all very subjective, isn't it? So this is the analogy that we're going to be using today. So fashion trends, whatever they are, is just another way of people saying, spend some money on stuff you don't really want or won't make you look good. And that's the message of the world, isn't it? You know, it's missing out on the message of the kingdom. So this analogy of clothing and fashion is to help illustrate some points. It's not about wearing the core brands, or the cliquey stuff, but the essential garments of the kingdom to do life really well. And just to bring it back to what I've been talking about, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, the good news. So change the way you think, because Jesus is here. He's in us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is in us and working through us to bring the kingdom of God to one another, and that's what we're here for. So And that is the priority. You know, when John the Baptist was put in prison, he had a big question mark, didn't he? But was, you know, I know what was told over me, I know what was prophesied over me, I know what happened. My parents told me what happened before I was born. He was filled with the Spirit in the womb, unusual. His life was kind of laid out for him, and then he gets arrested, and then he's not actually sure. Is Jesus who we think he is? And he sends his disciples to see Jesus, and they come to him, and Jesus, obviously, with some heaviness, gives him the answer: the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor hear the good news. And there's more, and I won't dwell on that. I'll come back to later. But that's what John needed to hear. That all of that he paid his price for, the prepare the way, the getting people ready, the sinners' revival, baptizing people in the River Jordan, was all to make a way ready for Jesus to follow after. So, and that message still rings true, because we need to change the way we think in this world, not be conformed by this world, but be aligned with the heart of the Father for us. So the key text we're going to be looking at today in kingdom fashion is Colossians 3, 12 to 15. I'll read it and I'll come back to it. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. If you've got a highlighter or an underlining pen or something, just scribble over that. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. Even more than we ever knew, forgiveness is one of the most important keys to breakthrough. And unforgiveness is a massive roadblock, stumbling block, hindrance for the life and flow of heaven in our lives. And over all these virtues, put on love. So we've got clothe yourself and put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. So those are the analogies we're looking at. Clothe yourself and put on. And then he lists the items, which we're going to get into in a little bit. But the inference is that if he's saying you need to put these things on, then it's quite likely that they're not already wearing them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, otherwise, why would he need to say? You need to be gentle, you need to be kind, you need to be loving, you need to be gracious, all those things. And then, just another thing to add to what we're going to talk about is just a reference to the priest, because I said this over the weekend, that we are a royal priesthood of the holy nation, and that God lit the fire on the altar, and it's the role of the priests to keep the fire burning, you know, stir up one another for love and good works. We have to stir ourselves up. David spoke to himself when he was in a low place, wake up my soul, wake up, you know, you can do better than this, so come on now. And that's, thou shalt not sweat it, is what I'd like to call slightly tongue-in-cheek, the 11th commandment. In the book of Ezekiel, I haven't got slides for this, but there was ministry, the priests were commanded to minister in the tabernacle of Moses, and it says this: when they enter the gates in the inner court, they are to wear linen clothes. They must not wear any woolen garment. While ministering at the gates of the inner court or inside the temple, they are to wear linen turbans on their head and linen undergarments around their waist. They must not wear anything that makes them sweat. And so for me, that speaks of no striving, no pushing for perfection. I can do this, we'll make it happen, come on. You're not trying hard enough. It's not that. It's ministering in a place of peace and rest. So, and not human effort apart from the ministry of God through your life. So peace and rest are the key things there. And for them, for us that live in and from his presence, the instruction is to dress light, don't wear heavy things, don't be weighed down by heavy things. what you're wearing should breathe with the Spirit of God. Don't let anything restrict your faith, your understanding. You know, I put on some trousers these days and they're a bit tight. I think, oh, they've shrunk. Yeah. I've shrunk again. My new trousers. How are these new trousers so tight? My old suits just don't fit anymore. I think they've sat in that cupboard and they've shrunk. I don't know, understand it. Why are these things happening? I have to go and buy more. Anyway, so that's an aside. And another little thing that helps with the analogy for me is this idea of wineskins and new wine. I'm sure you're very familiar with that bit from in Mark 2. Jesus was questioned about why his disciples weren't fasting while those of John the Baptist were fasting. And Jesus answered, how can the sons of the bridal chamber fast when the bridegroom is next to them? So they're having a celebration. It's not like never fast, but actually in this season, in this time, they're with the bridegroom. The days of fasting will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. And who would mend worn-out clothing with new fabric? When the new cloth shrinks, it will rip, making the tear worse than before. It's like you can't patch some things up. Sometimes you have to put those things in the bag that goes to the King's Cross charity shop, if I can use that analogy. Thank you. One person got it, that's okay. Eventually, the wine will ferment and make the wineskin burst, losing everything. The wine will be spilt and the wineskin ruined. Instead, new wine is always poured into new wineskins. And part of what we're here for, I believe, especially there are seasons, aren't there? We feel like, oh, there's something new happening, something fresh happening that we can lean into. And I think Paul Manwaring says it best, that a new wineskin is to receive, to carry, and to pour out the new wine. And that's who we are. We're receivers and carriers of new wine to pour it out. So a freshness is something that people need in this moment to be released in through us. And we have to be prepared, ready, made ready to carry his glory. And Donna and I have been, as Peter's inferred, we've been all over the world, especially to places that we call hotspots of revival. We went to Toronto in 2003, having been touched by the move of the Spirit in the mid-90s. Something was transferred by those that went and brought back into our gatherings and our meetings. We went to Lakeland, Florida. Got hit by the fire of God in that place. There was refreshing and there was fire. And then we've hosted our own meetings in Southampton on the south coast. And then in other places like Germany and Austria and Switzerland, and Donna mentioned Cuba yesterday, and other places we've been to. And even recently we've had some meetings where we're just worshipping and then praying. And I just feel that very familiar heat on my head that I first felt in Toronto. It's like, ooh, that's the fire of the Holy Spirit again. That's familiar to me. And it feels like God is stirring us up again for that move, to be aware of what he's doing and then to join in with it. And just a comment on old wineskins. Are they still fit for purpose? Well, actually, a lot of people like vintage wine, don't they? It's more refined. It's got a better palate and all of that. And we can see, we know that there are some structures, there are some things, there are some celebrity culture that's being shaken up a little bit, and that's all good. But the wineskin can be fit for purpose if it is made ready for the purpose that it is assigned for. And again, leaning on Paul, he talked about if you want to use up an old wineskin, it might be a bit dry and crusty. Well, you have to soak it in the river, you have to rub oil on it, and you have to slap it on the rock a bit. Do that a few times. Have you seen pictures of you know, people in the country places out washing their clothes in the river? Well, imagine doing that. You know, so you've got the free-flowing river, you've got the rocks to thing, and after a while, this old leathery thing will become malleable and ready to receive. Just needs a bit of oil, a bit of, you know. So the old wineskins can be used. There's a little bit of work required. Because if you're in a rigid structure where nothing can change and everything's very kind of, we've always done it this way, nothing can be different, whatever, I would be questioning, well, God says he's doing a new thing. How's that new thing going to fit into your little box?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that sounds a bit arrogant, but I'm on the outside looking in going, I don't think it's working. Mm. Are we growing? Are we not growing? Is the church impacting your community or not? Are you working together in your city or not? And it gets a bit tiring when you try and do things together and you've got 3 out of 25 churches going, yes, let's go. And the rest of them going, no, we're very busy with our own program. And God is speaking about unity in these days, and he wants us to be aware of, if we knew the power of unity, we would pursue it with passion and with purpose. And we just carry on doing what we're doing. After lockdown, it was like a divine reset, in my opinion. There was a moment to go back, clear everything off the table and go, right, what is essential and what is superfluous in our gatherings, in our church structure, in the way we do things? What is the Lord speaking to us? And a lot of people went back to man-made structures like canals, which aren't full of life, instead of going back to the river of life, where there are trees planted by the wayside, where the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations, etc., etc., and that's a whole other thought. I've just gone down a long bunny trail, but I hope it is a prophetic thing that I'm feeling. And just something to say about brides and grooms. So Jesus is talking about being the bridegroom, the church is his bride, all the church is his bride. In biblical times, it was the groom who made a covenant to provide for his bride. And it was common practice that the groom would also provide all the outfits for the wedding. Isn't that interesting? And then Paul's talking about, you need to wear the right outfit in the kingdom of heaven. So it all ties together brilliantly, doesn't it? Right, so let's move on. Would you believe that what they're wearing in rubbish bags... it just made me laugh so much.
Take off.
So I want to look at what not to wear in the kingdom. And hopefully, I'm going to have to do these one at a time. By the looks of it. So these are the things that I feel that we have to be looking at and taking care of and dealing with, the things that we should not be wearing in the kingdom. So this is not an exhaustive list, although it's pretty exhausting when you start looking at them. Heaviness, despair, anxiety, stress, worry, negative thoughts, negative confession. Donna was talking a lot over the weekend about negative personality. Sometimes just like there's things that you do that you don't see, but everyone else does. But that is a good phrase.
Yes,
blind spots. There we go. Sorry, I don't know where that disappeared to. I'll blame that on jet lag. They're blind spots because you can't see them, and it takes someone who loves you to go, did you realise when you behave like that, it's a little bit uncomfortable. You might want to look at it. So we have heaviness, despair, anxiety. These are all things that God wants us to take off. It's what the Lord's speaking to. These are things that we shouldn't be wearing as sons and daughters of the Most High God, receiving the peace that God gives us. Because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so if your heart or your mind is exposed to heaviness, despair, anxiety, stress, worry, negative thoughts, negative confession, and those things, then I would say you're not walking in his peace. You're not resting in his peace. Right. You don't actually have his peace, because if his peace is there, all of the storm can be going on around you, but you're at peace because you're centered in Christ. You're not focusing on self at the center. That's good. And then we carry on. You've got criticism. So negativity. How prolific is negativity now? Who likes posting comments on Facebook? It's one of the most irritating things. You see something's uplifting, you scroll down and suddenly you can read some comments and it's blah blah, that's not true, don't agree, blah blah blah. It's like someone said something at Voice of the Prophets recently which I thought was profound. If you don't have proximity, you don't have permission.
Yeah.
So that means if you're not in relationship with someone, if you haven't walked on their journey, you do not have permission to comment on their life, on what they do, on who they are. And yet the world is, you know, in the old days we got news from newspapers or from one or two news stations. Now we have 24 hours of people going, what are we going to say? I don't know. Let's make something up. Let's sensationalize something. And we've got wall-to-wall stuff and comments. And then everyone that's anybody since TikTok and Reels and all these things became available, we're all now journalists, apparently, with no training, no understanding, no righteousness, no whatever. I'm being very kind of grumpy this morning. But the point is, there's a lot of garbage out there. No, it should be. I ran out of room. I could have done another column, couldn't I? Throw off Grumpy and all the rest of the dwarves as well. And Pastor Bill Johnson would say, and has said, and I agree with him, criticism is fuel for the demonic.
Absolutely. Amen.
And if we start criticizing, we're speaking out of the wrong kingdom. And it's not like we cannot, there's a difference between criticism and critiquing. So I've worked doing songwriters forums and whatever, and you're not going to just listen to a song and go, it's rubbish. And as a creative, you know, you work in groups of people, you're throwing around ideas, and you kind of go, so the, what I like about that idea is this, how can we take that, I like that element, let's build something together collaboratively, which is very different to just going, only my idea is right, everyone else sucks. That doesn't work in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. So these are all things that we need to be addressing and dealing with. Anger, unforgiveness, we've talked about. Bitterness, bitter root judgment. Someone's hurt you and you're like, every time you think about them, oh, if only I could, why I order. And to be quite frank, Don and I have been dealing with it, I was only thinking about it this morning. Dealing with a very difficult situation. This has been recorded, so I won't go into the details, other than to say that if you can imagine the worst thing that could happen to your daughter, then it's happened. And then how do I deal with that? How do I process that? And so I have to deal with my anger, my bitterness, my frustration, my desire for revenge, my all of that, and just lay it all down. And it's not a one-off process. It takes time, and you have to keep coming back to it until all those little spiky things are removed. Because when the devil came to tempt Jesus in the desert, it says he found nothing in him. That's a really interesting phrase. There was nothing in him that he could get his talons into and pull on, whereas we have little trigger points that someone can just go boop. And if there are things like that in your life, if you have things that trigger such a trendy term, oh, you're triggering me. You, when a nine-year-old says that to you, you need to sit them down and tell them off, because they're not being triggered. They're not old enough to be triggered. It's like, you haven't grown up yet. You don't know what you're talking about. They've learnt the language from someone else and they're using it as a weapon. And it's not healthy or helpful. So, if there are things like that in our lives and they come round again. Peter's talking about going around the mountain. You can go around the mountain to ascend the mountain, but you can also go around in the wilderness and find yourself back at the same place. And God's going, I've got a new pathway for you. Would you like to go my way, or do you want to carry on doing it your way? And in his graciousness and kindness, he's given you an opportunity to change the way you think and go in a different direction. Or in our stubbornness and our whatever, we'll just carry on going the same way. So there's obviously things there, fear, religion, doubt, all of that stuff. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we're fearful, it's not from God. It's the same thing as John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come to give life and life in abundance. It's not life in abundance, it's not from God. These are pivotal scriptures that should bring clarity to the way we pray and the way we think. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power and a sound mind. Amen. So, where was I? God is slow to anger and rich in love, and he is gracious to us, and he enables us to deal with these things. And sometimes, Donna and I have worked and done sozos with people, in the healing prayer sessions, ministry, just ministering to people at the end of a time of teaching or prayer or whatever, and you get in the one-to-one, you suddenly realize, oh, the Lord wants to deal with something. So the Holy Spirit highlights something, and let's focus on that, because the Holy Spirit is highlighting on that and dealing with that. And in the flow of the Spirit, that thing can be dealt with once and for all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. You know, sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. So there's a beautiful exchange that can happen, and all God is asking is for our response to come and deal with this stuff. So if any of those things are highlighted to you, it's time to see it like an old garment. Some of those things may just be in the back of your cupboard. We've got a wardrobe full of clothes. And you pull out, every now and then I pull out a shirt and I go, this shirt, I don't even like it. So if that's the analogy, just, I don't like worry. Why am I still worrying? And so I grab it, stick it in the charity shop bag. King's Cross charity shop. There we go, I like that. So some of the things that you may be very aware of, and they're with you on a daily basis. Other things, just every now and again, you ferret around in the back of your wardrobe, and you think, I don't know why I've got that anymore, because Jesus has dealt with it. So is it time to take the old garments off? Pride, unforgiveness, anger, jealousy, criticism, constant negativity. Those things are roadblocks to his healing and release. And fear is not yours to wear. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And there's divine exchange, isn't there? Encounter brings divine exchange. In Isaiah 61, That's a little example, and it's again not an exhaustive list. He will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment, there it is again, a garment of praise. He's going to put a garment of praise on you instead of a spirit of despair. So despair is like leaning right into full-on depression and out of control. I don't know what to do. I'm losing myself. I'm losing my sanity. And God's saying, actually, when you start to praise me, when you start to bring me gratitude and thanksgiving, you're turning away. Again, this is repentance, isn't it? I'm not heading down that route as cloudy and as dark as it is with the big drop off the edge of the cliff. I'm stopping before I get there because I'm choosing to put on this robe of despair, which he's given, a robe of praise, because praise is the plough, praise is our warfare. This is how I fight my battles on your shoes, don't you, Wendy? We fight with our worship and our praise because it confuses the enemy. You know, out of the overflow of our mouth, the heart speaks. So I'm just going to break in, but a little bit more to say. Don's going to come and pray. Don's going to come and pray. Yes. Yeah, and then I'll carry on with the positive bit. You're going to do the breaky.
Okay. Okay. So as we were looking at what not to wear, and you can see from the screen there that it's still up there, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you which one or which ones really stick out to you of areas that God wants to deal with today. And you know, we're like onions, aren't we, where God treats us kindly and tenderly and graciously, and he will deal with us one layer at a time. And he'll take that layer off, and then later when we're able to recover and able to move on, he'll take us to another layer. And it depends on our position before the Lord and our vulnerability before him, how deep he goes. So today, if there is anything that struck you as to, gosh, you know, I'm really dealing with jealousy right now, gosh, and a memory comes up and over a person that you're just jealous of, and you realize it's a repeated pattern, that quite often this happens regularly in your life, you know, we want to just release that to the Lord right now. And, you know, Alan said about John and John the Baptist and how he prepared a highway of holiness for the King of Kings to come and walk in. And God is wanting us to be pure vessels so that he is able to flow through us and use us. And it's not in any way cluttered up with our rubbish and our debris. Because what people see of us, they see a mix, don't they? They see a mix of God, but they also see a mix of us. And we would rather God sees Jesus in us rather than us. So we need to sort of be dealing with some of these things, so it's an opportunity. So we're going to pray a prayer, and we're just going to highlight something that has struck you, one thing. And so, Father God, is there any particular issue in my life that you're wanting to deal with? And I want us to just close our eyes and just pray right now, and see which one sticks out for God to deal with today. So, Father God, where did this issue come from? I'm just going to ask the Lord, where it originated? When did it begin to start in your life and begin to manifest on a regular basis? I'm just going to sit and wait. Maybe a memory came to mind, or a person. As that situation or circumstance memory comes to mind, Father God, who do I need to forgive for opening up this door to this particular issue? So today I choose to forgive these people or that person from causing me harm and for causing me to begin to operate in this area of negativity. I choose to forgive them today for hurting me. And I choose today to release them from any judgments that I've made about them. And I choose to no longer partner with this issue. And right now, I choose to release these issues to you because I don't want to wear them anymore. I no longer want to carry that baggage. And so I hand these things to you. And I thank you, Father, for sending your son Jesus to carry this stuff for me so that I don't have to carry it. And when you went to the cross, you said, "It is finished." Which means that we don't have to carry these things because you took them all upon yourself. And so right now, Father God, I ask you, what do you want to give me in exchange for these issues? Father, that you want to reveal truth to me about these situations, this particular situation or memory that came to mind. That you want to reveal your truth about that situation. Do we just wait on you for what you want to say about that? The grace to be able to view that situation and for others in similar situations where we will choose not to wear these things that have in a just common place in our lives, but we choose to move in the opposite spirit. And I thank you that you give us power to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Donna. Excellent. Let me just go back to what's next. So now we're talking about Kingdom Makeover, and if you look carefully at this picture, it's there for a little bit of a smile. So this mum had her daughter drew a picture of her beautiful mummy, and her beautiful mummy decided to make herself look like the picture. Gave herself a little makeover. So she looked the same as the daughter, which I think is really sweet. So yeah, that's very fun. So we're going to head back to Colossians and what to put on. So Donna's talked about, so God's already shown some stuff to us, but in the context of our scripture, let's just review what to put on. What, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We'll start with, we put on Christ. Romans 13 and Galatians 3, Christ is in us, the hope of glory, but we can accessorize with hope and faith. These three remain, isn't it? Hope, faith, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Those are the things that get undermined and attacked in our lives by the enemy, faith, hope, and love. So those are the things, if they're in your garden, those are the things you put your mesh around so the snails can't get to them or whatever, more analogies coming in. Protect them because they're important to you. And let's just read that scripture again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. There's that word again. Love brings unity. Yeah. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. There's that peace word again. Let his peace rule. As members of one body, we're called to peace, and then be thankful. And there's praise and worship one more time. The Prussian translation says about robing yourself with the virtues of God, since you've been divinely chosen to be holy. Robe yourself with the virtues of God. Those are the things that we're talking about here. So, once more, Christ, put on Christ. Hope, faith, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And put on love. And just to finish it off, we've already done a little activation. I want you to think about those things and maybe the things that that God showed you as Donna was praying just now. If you can just close your eyes just for a couple of minutes, you're almost finished. And imagine a store, and this can be a swanky store, one of these posh things in Hollywood or somewhere where you don't normally have enough money to, you know, even buy the plastic bag. But the bill has been paid in full, and God wants you to go and select that which you know is going to fit you perfectly, the colours that you love, the fit that is perfect for you. Racks of splendid clothes and garments, tables and displays of stylish and beautiful accessories. Browse them, pick them up. Things have been highlighted for you. Put them in your basket and take a moment as you're not finished yet. Search a little more for the items, especially there's a rail with your name on it. And God's saying, oh, I've picked this out for you. You know, sometimes a friend or a member of your family go, I think this will look great on you. And God is doing that for you. And he wants to draw your attention to the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit for you to proudly wear and display. That compassion, the kindness, walking in humility with gentleness and patience, with grace and encouragement, hospitality. There may be other kingdom attributes the Lord is highlighting for you. Just put them all into your basket, and you'll be surprised how extraordinary light they are. And they won't make you sweat. There is no striving associated with these things. You may want to try go straight into the changing rooms and put these things on straight away. And then over all of it, there's this lovely jacket, tailored with the brand name Love that God wants to put on you. So as you leave this activation, remember to leave the bag of clothes that no longer fit, that are no longer fit for purpose, those things behind, and walk out with the essentials of merciful understanding, compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, and let His supreme love flow in and through all of those things. And as you walk out as ambassadors of the kingdom, because all of that has been paid for by Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for highlighting things that we can lay down, forget, not even think about anymore, that there's healing work going on, there's inner healing work going on, there's restorative action happening in our souls, in our mind, our will and emotion. Lord, you're dealing with stuff, and we pray you just continue that work as the day goes on. We thank you for this beautiful day, this beautiful sunshine, and we pray for the sun to shine on our lives in every aspect and every area. In Jesus' name, and we bless you and bless one another. Just put a hand on someone's shoulder and just pray a prayer of blessing. Bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, we bless what you do in their lives. We thank you for our brothers and sisters, our friends, our kingdom family. And we release blessing over blessing over blessing. Blessing over blessing over blessing. And may your smiling face of favor shine upon each one of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.